Kellogg, Omaha, Nebraska, September 10th, 1904. Dr. Kellogg, my dear brother. We reached Omaha at 1:30 yesterday and were driven at once to the camp meeting, a distance of about 2 miles. I talked for a few minutes to one or two of the ministers and was then taken to the room that had been secured for me. This room is in a house a few minutes' walk from the ground. It is a large, airy room in a new house. Here we ate our lunch, which we had brought with us from the sanitarium. I have not yet attended meeting. I speak today at 2:30. I slept well last night until nearly 4 o'clock. I thank the Lord for this great blessing. Yesterday evening I had a short talk with Elder Robinson and learned that there are nearly 1,000 campers on the ground. Besides this, many attending the meetings are staying in rooms. There is a decided interest in the truth in Omaha, and the people of the city seem to be glad of the opportunity of attending the meeting. I understand that last Sunday evening there were between 1,500 and 2,000 present at the meeting. The meeting is now at a most interesting stage. There are some rather perplexing questions to be settled in reference to the publishing and handling of books by the International Publishing Association, but these questions must not be brought in here. There are a large number of Germans at the meeting. Most of them, I think, understand the English language. There are also many Scandinavians present. It is something of a problem to arrange the meetings so that those of different nationalities will get the most good. I know of no better way than for all to hear what they can and obtain all the good possible to take home with them. I received a blessing in the night season at Battle Creek before speaking to the helpers in the sanitarium. I laid right hold upon the great medical missionary, and I was assured that his grace would be with me in large measure. The promise was fulfilled, and this grace sustained me during my journey to Chicago. On reaching there, I found that I could walk through the large waiting rooms and up and down the stairs as easily as I ever could. For this, I thank the Lord with heart and soul and voice. They expect much of me here, but they must look away from me to the Lord Jesus. I shall help them in every way possible. I know that when I ask the Lord to be my helper, he will not deny me, because it is my one desire to do his will and glorify his name. I am weak, but in depending wholly upon him, I always obtain strength. In laying my burden on the burden bearer, I always find comfort and strength and hope. This is my great desire, to find abiding rest at his feet. While I keep firm hold of his hand, he leads me safely. He hears and sees everything that we do and say, and he will give strength to all who will walk humbly before him in a perfect way. The living God shall be the joy and rejoicing of my soul. I see no other way for us to glorify God as a people than by constantly reaching a higher standard until at last we reach the place where Christ stands. For years I have contemplated the heights that we might reach if the burden of self did not hinder us. My brother, I want so much to see you standing where you can say, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Not for the things of God, but for God himself. Psalm 42, verse 1. I greatly desire that you shall have the true God, not a God of your imagination or of speculative philosophy. It is the true and living God for whom you should thirst. God invites you to draw near to him, humble your heart before him, and if you will grasp his hand of infinite strength and power, he will be to you a shield against the enemy. But it is only in becoming a little child to be educated in spiritual, sanctified, holy things that you can break the power of the enemy. When you gain this experience, when, as a little child, you place yourself in God's hands, determined to do his will at all times and in all places, he will manifest himself to you as your sufficiency, the chiefest among 10,000, and the one in whom you may always trust.
This is an experience that you have yet to obtain. Will you not make a strong, determined effort to get away from your condition of spiritual dwarfage? Never allow yourself to be drawn into discussion regarding the personality of God. On this subject, silence is eloquence. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. 1 Peter 2 verse 11, Romans 8 verse 13.
My brother, Satan will try to hold his victory over you. You can expect nothing else. But God is stronger than Satan. Do not trust in yourself. Trust in Christ Jesus. He is your only hope. Then you will not be, as you have often been represented to me, like the slender willow, moved to and fro by every breeze. Now is your opportunity to clear away the rubbish from your experience. Now is your opportunity to learn from Christ the lessons that will endure through time and eternity. To those who receive him, Christ gives power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Over and over again repeat the words, "My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." See Psalm 112, verse 7. Upon the leaders in the medical missionary work, there rests the responsibility of clearing away from the foundation the hay, wood, and stubble which they have been bringing to it. Gather to your soul the gems of truth that will grow brighter and brighter under the influence of the purifying fires. When you are convinced that you must die to self, that you must have an experimental religion, God can work with you. The conviction that you must have pure and undefiled religion, this is your safeguard. The soothing influences of the world will seek to delude you, but Christ will bind your soul up with his if you will humble yourself. Unless you are willing to humble yourself, you cannot stand on vantage ground. True conviction will take possession of your heart if you do not resist it. This conviction must be allowed to do its work in your life. You have carried a number of your associate physicians with you in a false path. Some have awakened to their danger and want to be free. When you are, in heart and mind, what you should be, with the opportunities you have had, you will break the yoke that you have been binding upon others, and you will take Christ's yoke upon you. Oh, how I long to see you doing thorough work in breaking the yoke that Satan has induced you to wear. When you do this work, your determination will be to do good and be good. Here are words given me to repeat to you. Many prayers have been offered up for you by those who would rejoice to see you converted in mind, in thought, in writing. If others speak words that are harsh and unkind, remember that you have taken your stand with Christ, and that it is he who is insulted by the words spoken against a striving soul. By our words we are to be justified or condemned. When in the final judgment we stand before the tribunal of God, it is our words that will justify or condemn us. Much more than we realize is involved in the matter of speech. Then, for Christ's sake, my brother, let your lips be touched with a live coal from the divine altar. Utter only words of truth. Watch and pray that your words and deeds may ever confess Christ. Let your words be seasoned with wisdom and purity. By your words you have in the past done great mischief. The heart repentance and reform is known to God and to yourself. Let self die. Let self be crucified, else you will continue to say many things that are not wise, not true. Remember that God hears every word you utter. Begin now the work of pruning your vineyard. You may do great good or great evil.
two ways are before you. You may, through the sanctification of the Spirit, soothe the souls of many. Through the working of the Spirit, you may not only make and maintain an unreserved surrender, but you may, if you cast out from your soul all selfish ambition and take your place before Christ as a learner, redeem the time and call back the erring. Some will not hear, but if you will humble yourself, you will be lifted up by the hand of Him who is fully able to save. He will enable you to make restoration as far as lies in your power. This work is now before you. Will you seek earnestly to save souls ready to perish? If you will quench the spirit of warfare, you may save souls that are ready to die because your ways and your works have misled them. It is your privilege to set their feet in the path of righteousness. Will you not take your stand on the platform of eternal truth, that all who know you may take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus and are learning His lessons? You may preserve a brother's character spotless, or you may smear it with misstatements, as you have done in the past. Now is your time to make a generous, noble confession of Christianity, to avow your belief in the validity of the truth. No longer halt between two opinions. If God be God, follow Him, and if Baal, follow him. Do not be turned aside by what others have said or done. The responsibility of their course of action rests upon them. If they fail of doing their appointed work, the sin is not yours, but theirs.
I pray that you may be a true medical missionary. I pray that you may be able to say of Christ, He is my strength and my Redeemer. See Psalm 19, verse 14. Those who love and fear God, those who have strong confidence in Him, have His mercy to save them, His power to defend them, His wisdom to guide them in safe paths.